Clark Strand is tracking a new group of people called the Nuns, those who don't affiliate with any particular religious group, but still consider themselves spiritual people. Strand is the author of the book How to Believe in God. He says America is unique among developed nations for its continued religiosity, even in the face of a new competitive religious marketplace, where people want to know, what can religion do for me, instead of, what can I do to serve my religion?
The nuns are these people who, when they are asked a question, what religious affiliation do they belong to, answer none of the above, so hence the nuns. And these are people who, I think up until probably around 30 or 40 years ago, were loosely affiliated, sometimes closely affiliated with one of the major, usually Christian denominations in America, but now they've drifted away.
It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because it may be in some ways just a redefinition. These are people who felt comfortable claiming affiliation 30 years ago and haven't changed their views, but now feel comfortable not claiming an affiliation.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. And I think by far the most interesting statistics that's come out over the past 18 months or so is the fact that these people who basically comprise about 16.1% of the general population, we're thinking about somewhere around 50 million people, these people overwhelmingly say that they believe in God. In other words, the number of atheists and agnostics out there hasn't really dramatically increased. What's increased is the number of people who are willing to claim no affiliation whatsoever, even though they claim to have religious beliefs.
Of course, it's changed the religious marketplace, hasn't it? The Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life had a study recently you quoted as calling this a competitive religious marketplace. That's a change.
Well, it is, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, because if you look at global trends right now, in developed nations around the world, religion is in decline and secularism is on the upsurge. So in America, this is not as true, and I think it's because there is such a plurality of religious traditions here to choose from. It makes for a more competitive environment, and so the religiosity of Americans is much higher. In fact, we're really the only developed nation in the world that has what you would consider a high level of religiosity today.
Does this mean that religion has become a kind of consumer product? People know what they want. They go out and compare this with that and buy the one that suits them best?
Well, there are different ways of looking at that. I mean, yes, you could say that. And I think that there was this term that people used to use. It's not quite so much in vogue today. Cafeteria Catholic, they called it. Person who picks and chooses what they want to believe and what practices they want to subscribe to and leave the rest behind at their own convenience. But I think what we're seeing in America today, specifically in America, but elsewhere in the world as well, is something more profound. It's a more profound paradigmatic shift at work, I believe, whereby religion is being held accountable to life. It used to be that people followed, and this was true for really at least the past 2,000 years or so, it used to be that people followed a paradigm of life-serving religion. And they were told what to believe. I use sometimes the metaphor of the whole CD approach to religion, where you're expected to buy the whole package and listen to only the songs on that CD, as opposed to what I call the iReligion approach, where you basically just download what you want and what you need and leave the rest behind. That's really what people are doing today. And they're really holding religion accountable to their lives. If it works, they use it. If it doesn't, they don't.
This sounds personal to you, as though you have, in fact, yourself done some looking and mixing of traditions. Is that true?
Yes, it's quite true. In fact, my book, How to Believe in God, Whether You Believe in Religion or Not, is really a kind of a record of that search, which began when I was born as a Christian in the South and then reaches its climax, so to speak, during my years as a Zen Buddhist monk. And then its resolution, ultimately, in coming back to the Bible after years and years of practicing Zen meditation and teaching it, to discover that in the Bible, the same teachings were there, only they needed to be thrown into relief, as it were, by taking a bearing off of another religious tradition. But in my journeys, I practiced every major world religion and many of the prayer and meditation practices associated with them. It was a kind of a way of exploring my identity as a 21st century person. Even in 1990, when I left the monkhood, I had the sense that we were on the verge of a great spiritual revolution, not just in this country, but in the world, that as we bumped up against global systems, global realities like global warming, the global economy, models like this, that we would begin to find ourselves in need of a bigger understanding of religion and of God.
What about the long-standing religions? What happens to the accumulated wisdom of centuries of study, thousands of years that have gone into refining the views of Judaism, of Islam, of Catholicism, or Lutheranism? Is there a danger of losing things when you pick a little from here and a little from there and a little from somewhere else?
Well, I think whatever is wise will make the cut. I think that's what wisdom is. I think that people will naturally gravitate towards those elements of religion that are truly useful for them and that truly have relevance to life. And I believe that they will let go of those things that aren't really tenable going forward.
What do you say to the traditionalists who speak of their belief system being watered down from the cherry picking that you're talking about?
Well, that's a very good question. What would I say to their claims that their religion is being watered down? I guess my answer would be, if their religion can be watered down, then it probably already is watered down. In other words, it's already weak. It's already lost its potency. Right. The very people who cry out the most about things like this, I think, are the people who are holding on to the religious beliefs that really have lost their relevancy, the ones that are really indefensible. For instance, priestly authority. People who are very, very invested in priestly authority going forward over the next 100 years are going to be holding low cards. They're not really holding on to a religious idea that's going to have much relevancy going forward. We're living in an internet age, an age of blogs, an age of discussion groups, where there's a much more egalitarian grassroots approach to everything, but especially to spirituality. And so the sort of top-down authoritarian model of, for instance, giving a sermon to a group of passive listeners who are just supposed to glean wisdom from it, I don't think that there's a great deal of future for that. So, for instance, that's just one example of something that, you know, yes, you could say that, you know, Catholicism could get watered down, but I would argue that actually it might get watered up. It might actually produce some good, strong grassroots spirituality out there if they would give up on that model and try a more populist model instead.
But on the other hand, we do have this human tradition in the systems of religious belief that tends to focus down our set of beliefs rather than opening them out. What you're talking about is a very free-form consumer model. Is this going to be simply a new variant on traditional religions?
I don't think so. I think that the wave of secularism that is really sweeping across the world, and just because America, you know, has a higher degree of religiosity at present, doesn't mean that it won't eventually reach here. I think it will. And when that happens, the demands on religion are going to be such that it really becomes radically answerable for itself in a way that it never has been at any point in history. People are going to look at it with a much colder, cooler eye and ask, what in this is really serving life? What in this is really contributing to peace and happiness and goodwill throughout the world? And the answer, I think, will be that there are parts of religion that deeply contribute to the quality of life and to the health of a society. And so I don't think that by any means this will mean that people just dismiss religion. I just think that it means that religion will be held accountable.
Clark Strand is a contributing editor at Tricycle, a Buddhist review, and author of the book How to Believe in God.